God's salvation I have. I'm saved. I'm born again. I'm born from above, born anew. I don't care how you want to say it. But I am saved by the blood of the Lamb. I believe. And Jesus' blood is mandatory for God's salvation. Now, you can learn a whole bunch of stuff. You can quote stuff. You can crawl under a pew or jump over it. I wish you wouldn't do it here. But you can do that. But you see, it's the blood that saves you. It's all about the blood. It's all about who Jesus is. Now, there was a man. Well, he was an idolater. And he went, did everything that all other idolaters did. Except there was one time, one day, this man, the idolater, was raised in idolatry, lived in idolatry, practiced idolatry. He's confronted by the Holy Spirit of God. Now, the change that's going to come to your life is when God reaches in and personally gives you a little shake. Now, when God gives you a little shake, you've been shook. So God, wanting to touch the heart of this tremendous idolater, he laid a plan out to him. And he says, listen, I will make of you a great nation because God had noticed in his heart he believed God. The Holy Spirit touched him. Now, I could talk you into something. But then somebody else can talk you out of it. When the Holy Spirit leads you to himself, to God the Father, that can be taken away from you. Conviction is going to come for your life or anybody else's life. A conviction that's going to give you conviction and give you the ability to be able to be successful in the life that God had blessed you with. It's going to come by Holy Spirit power. Not by your education. Not by how much scripture you know. And he says, listen to me. Anybody know who I'm talking about? Who is it? Do you remember that they changed Abraham's name? God did. God, his name was Abram at the beginning. And then, do you know what God said about him? He believed me. And it was accounted to Abraham as righteousness. Why? Because he believed. Now, salvation is of the Lord, not of you. And whoever calls on the name of the Lord, did not Jesus say, will be saved? Abraham, an idolater, a worshiper, his whole life, believed that God was calling him and telling him that he needed to pack up all that he had and leave. Wherever he was, fresh, fertile land, you need to leave, Abraham. Abraham didn't even know where he was going. Have you noticed in your life many times you have no idea where you're going? You get up, we got Faye and I do this all the time. We'll get in a truck and drive. I say, where we're going? She said, oh, let's go around the roundabout. I got plenty of them in E-Town. U-turns and roundabouts, so we take those drives. Life is that way. We just get up and we find ourselves on the road. If someone's to ask us where you're going, you'd say, I'm driving. Well, you see, what happened with Abraham was he quit driving and let God do it. He quit being in charge and thinking so much about, well, this must be right. I mean, that little image over there looks like something I ought to worship. And the Holy Spirit touches him and says, you're wrong. It's me. And Abraham believed God. And the scripture says it was accounted to him for righteousness. Now, Abraham then, because of his belief, because of his call, because of that special touch, he himself became the father of the greatest of all nations. Couldn't count the members, still can, of the nation. Because there was a Messiah coming. And the plans of the Messiah was being laid out by God himself. Abraham, I got a job for you to do. For the time period you're going to be here on earth, here's your job. Abraham says, okay, Lord, I don't know what I'm doing. That's when God can really use you. When you admit you don't have the slightest idea, you don't even know where you're going. Well, going out here in the circle and driving around, you know you're not going to get very far. So God says, I'm going to straighten your life out for you. When you invite me to come in, I want you to follow me. Nowhere in Scripture will you find where Jesus says, I want to follow you, Larry. Now, that's not saying he wasn't there every time Larry messed up. He was. But he wasn't following me. He was watching after me. And God says, this is what I want you to do. I want you to remember, there's only going to be one Savior. There's only going to be one that's going to be able to do what you need done in your individual life. And God loves us individually. He wants us as individuals to love him back. So therefore, he gives us that ability of love. He allows us not only to receive his love, but to reciprocate, return to him that love, to love back. And he says, follow me, but you got to follow me through my son Jesus, because there's only one way, and it's through the blood. And there's only one that gave the blood, and his name is Jesus. He's my son. He's the son that came to die on that cross for you and to know everything about you before you were even born. That's the God of the universe. That's the son of my salvation. And God says, I want you to understand it's mandatory that the blood be in your life, that you believe. That's mandatory. That you must believe in that blood. Hebrews 9:22. In fact, the law requires. Now, who set the law that God's talking about? God did. Now, remember, only God can add to, or he never took away, he just fulfilled law. So God is in charge of the law. He's written it. And he's in charge of making sure that you and I are covered. Because I believe. You believe. I've been washed in the blood of the Lamb. I got the crimson robe, a blanket, the blood of Christ that surrounds me. I am protected. I am watched after. I am loved. You are too. He knows your name. He knows where you live. He knows your foolishness. And he loves you anyway. Think of that. And then have mercy on your wife, men. She loves you anyway, but man, it ain't easy. But I have the blood and you have the blood because we believe. In fact, the law requires that nearly everything be cleansed with blood. And without the shedding of blood, there is no forgiveness. Jesus said, I'm the only one that can shed it. I will shed it. Do you know that that night of temptation, Jesus in the garden, and he is in deep prayer. Deep prayer to the point of he sees you and he sees me. He knows our name. We ain't even around, thought of, but he knows us. And his love for us was so outstanding, so deep. The scripture says that he was in such deep prayer that he sweated. And the scripture says as great drops of blood. Even his sweat was the blood coming from him. It was getting ready to happen the next day. And he is hurting. He is feeling it. What? The pain in your life and my life. See, he wanted me to be with him so bad that he is taking the hurt right then. Knowing it, agreeing to give his life, agreeing to bleed for me, agreeing that I would be covered, never to worry about losing what he gives me. You know, some of the greatest problems that Christians have are those Christians that don't understand. When God saved you, he did it right the first time. Jesus' blood cannot be put down to a level that says that he can't hold on to who he saved. He saved me when I believed. The world with all its idols, Abraham is your name now. The father of many nations. And it was accounted to him as righteousness because he believed. I can't lose that belief. I've already publicly announced it. I believe in the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. I did it in the baptismal pool. I did it verbally. I did it from my heart. I know Jesus, and I know what he did for me. The only reason that I have hope is because of the blood. It's mandatory for my forgiveness. Abraham, you got a job to do now, son. The father of the greatest of nations, from this point, the message will go out. The deliverer is coming. The Savior is coming. No, not Moses. Not anyone else. My son's coming. My son is coming till all generations. And one day, a child was born in the stable. In Bethlehem of Judea. And that birth of that child ushered in a light that would never be dimmed. Don't you remember? Is it not Jesus that says himself that he is the light of the world? And in him is no darkness at all? And didn't he also say that I am in him and he is in me when I believe? So therefore his light shines in you, Christian. Don't you ever let somebody put you down. Oh yeah, Christian, you call yourself a Christian, you go out and sin. Well, yeah, you're a human Christian right now. The time is coming when you get out of this sinful body and you get out of it, and in that spiritual realm, sin will no longer be a problem. As a matter of fact, the sins of the world are not your problem. Jesus took them. So why do you listen to others condemn you for your failures along the way? At least you're getting up to do something where you can fail. I failed many times, but I'm not a failure. I got up. I didn't get up because I wanted to a lot of times. Many times, I didn't want to get up. And that's when God says, shut up and get up. And you get up with the power of the blood of the Lamb, because I'm wrapped in that blood. You're protected by that blood. Be who you are, but always be trying to do better to glorify God. Don't fall back into the foolishness of life, the temptations that so easily we fall for. Now you have the power. The power to make a difference not only in your life, but in the lives of those you will meet. And God will send them your way. Be the light. Jesus' blood is mandatory for purification. Yep. I'm a Christian. I'm purified by the blood of the Lamb. Purified. Making complete. To make whole, to make pure. But it's not me that does it. It's the blood that does. 1 John 1, verse 7. But if we walk in the light, I told you about that, as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another. That's why we unite together. One sinner helping another sinner. I might be a sinner, but I'm a saved one. Amen. By the blood of the Lamb. And that sin no longer has control. Because God said, I send my love. I got the love letter. It's called the Holy Word of God. It's called the Bible. It's a letter from God for me, for you, that we might understand that we are made whole through him. If I am not saved of my own volition, but by the blood of the Lamb, then what would make me think that I could hold on to Jesus every second? You see, if I hold on, I lose my grip. People, I've been in that kind of pain, and many of you all have. I've been that afraid in combat. Yep, that afraid in combat. What do you mean, hold on? I can't even squeeze, much less to hold on. When Jesus reached down and he saw my believing heart, he didn't reach down for my hand to grab his. He reached down and he grabbed me. And he said, I got you, Larry. Now come on. Take my word to a world that's lost and hurting and dying, and let them know the Lord has come and I've fulfilled the law on your behalf. Tell them, Larry. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another as we're supposed to, and the blood of Jesus, his son, purifies us from all sin. Yep, his blood washed away my sins. His blood holds on. We're warned in Scripture. We're warned. Don't you count nothing the blood of Jesus that saved you. Don't you count that as nothing. That is your life, that blood. So how do I respect it? You do everything you can to do it right. And doing everything you can to do it right, you're going to get it wrong. And you're going to mess up. But it does not give you my salvation. I know that I can't lose my salvation, because I didn't get it on my own. It's a gift from God, lest any man should boast. I know I can't lose it. But that doesn't mean I have a ticket to do anything I want. Because I can't lose it, I don't want to do those things. I want to express to Jesus my love. I want to keep preaching as long as I can. I want to express to Jesus my concern for others. See, he sees it in your heart. If I have love for someone, why don't I say, I love you? Why don't I say that I want to express that love and do good for you? Why don't I say it to my fellow man, those that I love? Why? Because so often life gets in the way. So often Satan will throw down a stumbling block that'll keep me from saying it. To have grown up never hearing anyone ever tell me, I love you. Never heard it. To have grown up never getting to hear that. Man, it took a toll on me. I got a son and a grandson that says it all the time. When I'm acting half right, Faye tells me. But I love you is so powerful. And God looked at you and he looked at me and he says, let me tell you how much I love you. I'm going to give you my only begotten son. Never committed sin. No wrong. Only right. Pure love. I give so that you won't have to. What a God. What a Savior. Hey, power in that blood, Brother Randy. Write a song about it. There's power in that blood. And what love. The blood of Jesus is mandatory for justification. I'm justified by the blood of the Lamb. Romans 5, verse 9. Since we have now been justified, how? By his blood, how much more shall we be saved? Oh, I love this one. You hear me? Only thing that I would ever fear would be the wrath of God. Folks, I don't even want to see it. I don't want to be around it. I hope I don't have to. But if I do, God will give me grace to deal with it. But one thing about it, the wrath of God will never come down on me. You either, Christian. How much more shall we be saved from the wrath through him? Through him, yep, the one that gave the blood. I got a blood transfusion. I got pumped up with some power blood, folks, from Jesus, the Son of God. and he gave it just for me. That's love. That's love that you and I do not understand. That's love that is so powerful that the lost are looking for it. You help them find it. The lost are begging for help. Show them the hand that grabbed your hand. Introduce them to the blood that wraps you and protects you. That's the love of God. That's the power. That's God's salvation. I'm saved. Therefore, I love. Isn't that something? I didn't love Jesus and follow him. The scripture says Jesus first loved me and gave me the ability to love. The blood of Jesus is mandatory for overcoming Satan. I already read the book. I've told you. I read the end of it. Jesus wins. I would be sort of dumb to get on the other team, wouldn't I? That doesn't very bright. Jesus already has won. Mandatory for overcoming Satan. Listen to it. Revelation 12, verse 11. They overcame him, believers, overcame Satan by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony. I believe. Remember Abraham? I believe. They did not love their lives so much as to even shrink back from death. Now, yeah, you can kill my body, but you can't do it if God doesn't give you permission. If he gives you permission, who am I to say? Well, one thing I want you to know, I may leave this body, and I will. But if you're saved, you might as well look for me, because I'm going to be there with you. And if you don't love me already, get with it. Because in heaven, you're ordered to love me. So you might as well start liking me. And that love will grow. That's the blood, folks. That's the peace. That's an offering that God gave for you and for me. And last, God's salvation. Jesus' blood is mandatory for salvation security. See, if I'm not secure in my salvation, what am I going to keep doing? I'm going to keep trying to go over here and figure out what I got to do to stay saved. Or I got to figure out how to get saved. It's already figured out. There's one way. His name is Jesus. There's one blood transfusion. It came from him. And he says, whosoever will, let him come. Don't you worry about what other people say. Don't you worry about their laughter. When you got heaven in your sights, what does all that foolishness mean? Your favorite sin that you have to deal with, why is it so favorite when you know that it makes you stumble in the presence of a Savior you say you love and you're wanting to make him happy through your life? Christian, change your name or change your ways. Strive for that door. Strive to do it right. You're going to mess up enough striving to get it right. Why let yourself be sucked into life again that was no friend of yours? Revelation 3, verse 5. He who overcomes will, like them, be dressed in white. How did they overcome him? Listen up in Revelation 12, 11. They overcame him by the blood of the Lamb. Revelation 3, 5. He who overcomes will, like them, be dressed in white. Actually, that's light. You'll be dressed just like pure light. Oh, he is the light of the world. He's the light of your heart. He lit you up, didn't he? With that love. I will never. Listen to Jesus. Jesus says, I will never blot out his name from the book of life, but will acknowledge his name before my Father and his angels. That's a promise from Jesus. Jesus never broke his word. Jesus never made a promise he didn't keep. And he promised that I get to be with him. And he promised you all are stuck with me. And he promised I'll give you the ability to love one another. But in that same ability, he gives us the ability to forgive one another. Be at peace with each other. Folks, you're one of a kind. And I know you've been told that. You're one of a kind. But your Jesus is kind. He wants you here. I would have already been gone 2 years ago now. But God said, no, there's others. Therefore, have joy in your heart. For the blood that Jesus shed for you is permanently red. Holding on to you. He's not going to let you go. So start loving one another. Be at peace with one another. And give back to the Lord by helping others. That's God's word. And when it's God's word, it don't get better than that. Let's pray. Father, we thank you, dear Lord God, for the blessings, the joy of salvation. Thank you, Father, for giving us such peace to know that it's not of our strength, but of your will that we are able to walk in this world proclaiming your truth and your message and prepared already for the times to come and the worlds to come. In your name, for you stated it. You sent your Son to seal the covenant, and in the sealing of that covenant, we do have peace. Touch our life now that we might reach out to others. In Jesus' name, amen.